Lots of things happened this week. Some of the things which we have not even placed in our update because they happened after the update was finalized, so I will talk about that in a moment. But one interesting thing is that the disagreements between the United States and France in particular are growing. And we have an article in there talking about the fact that the U.S. walked out on France during the UN Security Council meeting. And I think my judgment is on this whole thing, there's hypocrisy on both sides of the aisle. Then there are some shocking allegations by Israeli Finance Minister Smotrich, and we are talking about that at length, and also the insanity of gender segregation in Israel. You might want to read those articles. I have to say a lot more about Israel in a moment. But then we are addressing the very dubious USA-Saudi Arabia nuclear deal, which was announced by President Trump as a big achievement. He announced some more big achievements this week. It's interesting because he's in big trouble and he knows it. The Iran war is lost, no matter what's being said. It's lost in an actual way, in a practical way. It's also lost in the mind of the American people. They don't like a bit what he's doing. And so he wants to have some kind of success. And so the one alleged success was the Saudi Arabia-USA nuclear deal. But it has all kinds of caveats, which originally were not talked about, and then later it had to be talked about because of the uproar, because of the criticism. And so this doesn't look like it's going anywhere. We also talk about in our update the tariffs which President Trump is going to inflict, if I can use that word, on people, on nations, and he is not making himself very popular with those tariffs, and of course some have already said they are going to retaliate. We'll have to see how this is going to come out and develop. We have an article about how the IRS persecutes innocent Americans, in case you wondered why Americans hate the IRS, and they literally hate the IRS. Well, you read that article and you'll get a clue. And then the last article in our current events section is titled How to Get Away with Murder in the United States. Since this goes hand in hand with the Standing Watch program, I'd like to read a brief section from this article which was published by the Rutherford Institute. It says this: no one in power pays a personal price. No one admits fault. No one resigns. No one is prosecuted. No one is held accountable. Those without power bear the consequences, and the government moves on without accountability. I mean, it couldn't have been said any clearer and any stronger and more true than that. And that brings me to the Standing Watch. I'd like to quickly point out that the title of this new Standing Watch program is Fauci's Responsibility, but many others are guilty too. And the summary of the Standing Watch goes like this. Anthony Fauci was questioned this week about corona, but refused to give answers. In fact, he pled the fifth more than 100 times. However, he was not the only one who was greatly responsible for the terrible restrictions imposed on the people during that time, and the push by both administrations for measures which were questionable at best. But the corona hysteria is not yet over, because it is big business for pharma. And so are many other quote-unquote methods when it comes to quote-unquote treatment of sicknesses. What is lacking in this country is faith in God's mighty power and his justice. And then we have the same program also in German. And by the way, we have also posted all the messages from last week, both in German and in English. In the Q&A, we started a two-part series. Actually, it's more like a three-part series, but it's starting with two parts. Title: Are there phrases in the Bible that have become normal in society today? And so both Mr. Gehl and I have been checking on certain statements. You are all familiar with them. Maybe you didn't realize they all come from the Bible, so there are lots of examples given in this one, and there are going to be more in the next issue. And then we also will talk about statements which are made where the people think they are in the Bible and they are not. And so, you know, stay tuned for that second part as well, which is going to be published next week. Now, as I said, there have been lots of developments going on even after the update was published. You might have heard about the violation of Polish airspace by Russia. They sent a highly dangerous and precise missile into Poland's territory, and it flew approximately 95 kilometers across the Ukrainian border without being intercepted. Nobody managed to shoot it down. And the feeling is that Putin is doing this on purpose to find out how capable NATO is of defending airspace like Poland. And, well, if that was a test, you know, NATO failed miserably in this regard. And so this war between Russia and Ukraine, I believe, is not going to be over anytime soon. And then President Trump was asked about his promise to allow Ukraine build its own Patriot anti-missile interceptor factory. And his answer was, to put it mildly, word salad, as you are used to know and have experienced the kind of word salad coming from Kamala Harris. But Trump managed to do the same thing, because nobody knew at the end, when he was done talking, what in the world he was actually talking about. And is he now allowing Ukraine to do it, or is he not allowing Ukraine to do it? Now, the article is pointing out that Ukrainian officials said that they were proceeding based on the commitment made earlier this month, because Trump publicly announced at the NATO summit in Ankara that Ukraine would be granted a license to manufacture interceptors for its Patriot anti-missile system, which are currently sparse because so many have been used in Trump's war against Iran. So they are proceeding based on the promise that they can. And now Trump is saying things which are unclear, to put it mildly, as to what actually is going to happen. Now, of course, you heard about the migrants invading Spain. And now European countries have reacted by saying, oh, we have to exclude Spain from the Schengen arrangement. The Schengen arrangement meaning that, you know, people can go from one European country to the next without having to show their passports. Italy, the first one, saying, no, they should be excluded. It's probably impossible to do so, but anyhow, that's a nice little threat. They say that about 80,000 migrants came into the Spanish enclave of Ceuta, or however you pronounce that. But according to Spain, most of them have by now already returned to Morocco. So we don't know exactly how true any of that is. Europeans have become concerned. Others have said, well, there's no reason to be concerned because they could never reach European countries. But we'll have to wait and see how that goes. Of course, many are using this as alibi, again, as justification for closing all the borders. And so, again, Europe is clearly moving towards the right on that issue. There's no doubt about that. Then there was another major announcement made by Mr. Trump regarding the Gaza Strip arrangement, and that Hamas is to give up their weapons. He talked about a great breakthrough, but it doesn't look like that is going to go anywhere either. Another huge announcement, because Trump needs a victory. He sees the signs of the time. He sees the writing on the wall and comes to the midterm elections. And so he comes up with all these pronouncements, and they probably don't amount to anything. I found this commentary by Augsburger Allgemeine quite interesting. They wrote this: disarm Hamas, the sooner the better. However, matters are not as simple as Donald Trump imagines. Hamas and Hezbollah in Lebanon are terrorist organizations with which one does not negotiate as one would with normal governments. Their business model is fear, and no one is afraid of unarmed terrorists. Any pledge to voluntarily lay down arms could therefore mean the exact opposite. In Lebanon, Hezbollah has repeatedly promised to disarm, yet its arsenals remain stocked with thousands of rockets because the Lebanese military is too weak to take on the terrorist militia. And in the Gaza Strip, Hamas has so far used every ceasefire and every phase of negotiations to replenish its weapons stockpiles. Trump has no answer to the most important questions anyway. And so they go on to show what all the issues are. Trump said that Israel has agreed to the plan. Israel has not commented at all. Netanyahu has not. But the right-wing parties, which Netanyahu needs for the elections coming up, have already said, we are totally not accepting this. We're totally rejecting this agreement. Hamas has said they are not going to give up any weapons until the point where Israel is going to withdraw. Israel has said, we're not going to withdraw until Hamas has given up the weapons. So we see all of that big, huge announcement, again, amounts to nothing. Sounds good. The press, especially the right-wing press, jumps on it. But nothing is going to come out of it. Now, we also have an article in our new update, which you're going to get, about the Holy See, Vatican, Catholic Church, and how they supported Fauci. Now, I found this article, which was published by LifeSite News, quite interesting. I want to just give you a very brief excerpt from it. It talked about a conference which had been taking place in 2021, hosted by the Holy See. Main speaker was none other than Dr. Fauci, and top executives of Pfizer and Moderna were present as well. And then the article says the same Holy See that should have raised its voice against the lie, against mass experimentation, against the suspension of fundamental rights, actively collaborated with the architects of what has been and remains one of the greatest operations of social control and health fraud in contemporary history, a true crime against humanity. They cannot say they didn't know. They cannot say they have been warned or not been warned. The May 21 event was not a simple conference. It was a public demonstration of complicity. The Holy See did not limit itself to silence. It offered its moral authority and its image to those who, in the name of health, imposed limitations on fundamental freedoms, discrimination, blackmail, and above all, experimental serums that have caused the death of millions of people. Unfortunately, I didn't have that article when I did the Standing Watch program. Otherwise, I would have certainly quoted it. That's how some feel. Others still don't see the problem with all these restrictive measures which were imposed here in the United States by both administrations, and also, of course, all over in Europe and in many countries around the world. We also have some articles about AI, the problems with AI, the problem with allegedly AI having violated copyright when it comes to music, big situation going on in Europe. And then, can AI even be controlled? Because they hacked into some other organizations during some test procedures. Should have not happened. It did happen. So the question is, how widespread is that fear, is that anxiety, is that danger? And I personally feel we haven't heard the latest yet about AI. I think it's a great, great danger. A great danger to a lot of companies, a lot of, in a sense, humanity as a whole. We have some more articles. You can read all of those when you get the current events next week. But I do want to talk about two more things. You heard about, I believe, Mr. Infantino's scheme, the guy, you know, who leads FIFA, to raise about $4.2 billion by selling roughly 20% stake in the group. Now, this has caused a tremendous amount of uproar, especially in Europe, and other soccer bodies like UEFA and other groups, even the American groups. They completely and totally rejected it. And now it appears like Infantino decided, okay, well, we are not doing it then because we don't have enough of the support. Now, it was Thrive Eternal, a fund run by Thrive Capital, founded by Joshua Kushner, who was expected to lead the proposed investor group. Now, Joshua Kushner is a brother of Jared Kushner, who is, of course, U.S. President Donald Trump's son-in-law. So, this has been going on for several months, it appears, behind the scenes, until it finally was publicized. So President Trump was asked about it, pretended like he knew nothing about it. First, when he was asked about Infantino, he said, "Who?" And then when he was told, "Well, that's the guy, your buddy at FIFA," he said, "Oh, no, I know nothing about it." Now, if you want to believe that Donald Trump knows nothing about what the brother of his close advisor is doing when it comes to this kind of a scheme, you might as well believe in the man of the moon. So that is so blatantly obvious, and it's a terrible defeat for Infantino, and it's not over yet because UEFA and other groups are now trying to get totally rid of him, which they should, but they should get rid of this entire FIFA organization, one of the most corrupt organizations in my mind, which exists. And then there's another interesting one, another defeat, if you please, for Trump's pool. You heard about this idea, like, oh, there was sabotage when this pool was made, and they actually charged a criminal case against Olympian David Hearn, one of the very, almost like, icons in America. And now they had to dismiss the case. Why? Because they found out, well, he didn't do anything. He wasn't even involved. It was because of the rush to get that pool done for the 250th anniversary that they violated all kinds of restrictions, all kinds of, you know, safeguards. And it was the fault of the Department of Interior and the architect. So we are told now. And the one who actually brought this case, Jeanine Pirot, I mean, you may recall her because she was at one time the moderator, one of the moderators on Fox News. She kind of gave a little bit of a hint that Trump wasn't totally innocent here because he pushed this thing through far too quickly. So what an embarrassment to bring a criminal case about somebody who was completely innocent just to have some kind of a justification as to why this pool was such a disaster the way it turned out to be. All right, before I stop, and I will stop today, I want to bring up one other interesting development. You might or might not have heard about it, but you have the Sanhedrin in Israel, of course. The Sanhedrin is looked upon as the highest religious court in the country, speaking on behalf of all the religious institutions, all the rabbis. Now, not everybody accepts the Sanhedrin in this regard, but many do. So now they just issued a ruling. And the ruling says, and it's a court ruling of the religious court of the Sanhedrin, that God and you may want to use whatever language is ordered, is asked to identify the Messiah and to have the temple built right away, and to also free Israel from all the enemies in the country. Now, the interesting thing is that according to Jewish tradition and the Talmud and all these other rules and regulations they have, the lowest court, in this case the Sanhedrin, is speaking with ultimate authority, and no higher court can do something against it. Meaning, that's a rationale. So the lower court has now ordered God to reveal the Messiah. So that's the Messiah, that's what they say, is going to build the third temple. No longer a modern King Cyrus figure, the Messiah. In fact, that's going to be the proof that he is going to be the Messiah when he builds the third temple and frees Israel from all the enemies. You know, it's just a laughable, such an absolutely laughable concept, but that's the decision. It's going to be discussed at length over there in the Israeli papers. Big, huge articles have been published already. More undoubtedly will. But what it tells me is that they're all getting desperate. The entire court, I don't know how many judges they have on that court, they're all desperate in getting that third temple built. They want to get it built as soon as possible. And that reflects the mood as to what's going on in Israel right now.